I heard a story about 6 months ago about a well-known company that had to let go some people in their workplace. And the company was thriving very well, and even the workers were doing well. And it's always a hard thing to see when that happens. One particular man was nationally known who was let go. And as he was let go, even though he thrived at what he did, people really weren't surprised that he wasn't able to work there anymore. And actually, one of the representatives of the company came and spoke to the media and said, well, we had to let that particular man go, not because of his ability, but because of his attitude. And there's a prayer that a man has recently prayed and wrote a book about it called, Lord, Change My Attitude. Lord, Change My Attitude. And somebody brought that up on Wednesday night and said, this book has been real helpful, highlighting some of the things in the Bible that the Lord would work on us about in terms of our thinking. And I thought, what do they know? But I got the book, and it was real helpful and pointed us to me to some things I thought would be helpful for you too. So praying that prayer, Lord, change my attitude. When I find myself younger, getting in trouble with parents or with teachers at school or with bosses at work, most of the time, it started with my attitude. My behavior could change fairly quickly. If I was fighting, hitting my brother and my parents said, don't do that, well, I would stop. I could change my behavior fairly readily. But on the inside, it was, when can I get him next? The fighting, the attitude was still there. And so that's how our hearts are unless God comes and does a work there. And it affects what we do. Sometimes it can affect our relationships. If you're in at home with loved ones, or you're looking forward to having loved ones, whatever your boat is, the Lord wants to work on our attitude so we can know His goodness in the midst of what's happening to us. And so Paul, when he's talking to a group of Christians, says, "Be encouraged, be together, and your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." In the King James Version, it says, have the same mind among yourselves. Have the same mind as that of Christ. And while you think about our minds and what we think about as our attitudes, and we're really responsible for them. We own our own thinking, you might say. Nobody can think for us in terms of another human being. And somebody said, if you have an attitude problem, look in the mirror and you'll see it. Okay? We own our own attitudes. And when I hear the Bible verse, have the same attitude that was in Christ, thinking about the Lord's attitude, I mean, great praise for the Father, great concern for others, basically 100% unselfish that He would come and be born in Bethlehem, give His life on the cross, be counted as a servant, be counted as nothing. I don't know if that's a goal you have this week. You might say, I'm sitting here and I want to go and I want to be a servant and be counted as nothing. That might not be your goal, but that might be the Lord's way of looking at life that can really set you free to grow yourself and to bless others. When I hear the verse, have the same attitude as Christ, I'm inspired and intimidated. I'm inspired to think that God would give us that news and share Christ with us that way. I'm intimidated by thinking, well, it took a miracle for me to meet Christ. I was going on the path to hell, headed that way, no doubt about it. Nothing was going to stop me. I wasn't going to stop myself. No church could stand in my way. But the Savior was there, big enough to stop me, dying on the cross for our sins. Now, if we trust Him, we're put on the path of heaven. What a miracle that was. And I would say, to have the same attitude that Christ has will take a similar miracle, a similar change. We cry out for God with that need and say, Lord, give me the heart transplant and mind transplant that I need. They don't do brain transplants nowadays. I thought, misapplication of the passage. If I can, when Billy Graham passes on, if I can get him to will to me his brain, because I want to think like him. God said, no, you can't do that, but he'd give us, each child of his, something better. We can think as God thinks, if we really want to. Think as God thinks. See the world from his heart and his eyes. All of a sudden we look in the mirror, we don't just see an attitude problem, we see a person loved by God, a person on a mission from God. And that's a calling. Have the same mind among you that was also in Christ. Isaac Newton, a very intelligent scientist, said, we're really called to think God's thoughts after him. That's something to take home. Think God's thoughts after him. What's the alternative? The alternative is we think our thoughts after ourselves. To me, that sounds like a dog chasing its tail. I'm just going to think my thoughts after me. And it won't be too redemptive. But God comes, he says, I can share with you the very heart of Christ, the attitude of Christ. Paul told the Corinthian church, who often had turmoil in their own souls, he said, we have the mind of Christ. You can look at life and people and events from with God in the center. You have the mind of Christ. Be transformed by the changing of your mind. Renewal of your mind, it says in Romans chapter 2. Someone said, if you haven't changed your mind lately, you're really not following the Lord. You should be changing your mind about a lot of stuff if you know Christ. Because he does speak to our hearts, changes the way we think in a good manner. And the truth that we've already been given is a good thing. There are changes there, but also brings them to us. He works on us. He's committed to that. And God's people in the Old Testament, as an example, were in need of an attitude adjustment many times. Their lives were meant to be an illustration for us, to say, I need God, just like they do. And so what was happening in the book of Numbers was, previous to that, God had brought them out of Egypt. They were going to die there. They were going to die in sin. There was no hope. It was a picture of our life without God. And God said, I'll take you out of that. Come on. And he gets them through the Red Sea. And God's their constant companion and constant leader. And if you know Christ, that's true about you. God is your constant companion, your constant leader. You have a lot going for you. And we have a lot to be thankful for. However, it got rough following God. And so the people began to complain. Say, I don't like this. The people complained about the hardships in the hearing of the Lord, the Bible says. And when God heard this, his anger was aroused. And their complaints were very familiar. They must have been, you know, reading our minds when they had some of the complaints. They said, this is taking too long for us to have God's help in our lives. It's taking too long. They said, we don't like the food that we're getting. They said, we're losing our appetite. God said, I'm feeding you every day. Losing the appetite. And they say, remember how good it was with God a long time ago, even in Egypt? Didn't appreciate God right there with them. And he was there. And so in verse 10, the Lord says this in the passage, the Lord became exceedingly angry with them. Their grumbling, really, in chapter 14, was seen as a direct sin against God. Pretty much the sin against sin of ingratitude. And that's a sin that easily besets us, that is at the root of many of our other sins. Someone said, all good Christian service is done out of gratitude to God. That's the story of the Sunshine Kitchen Ministries. All that happens out of gratitude to God. Oh, God loves us so much. God loves people. Hey, we gotta jump in there and befriend people who need some strength occasionally in their lives. But one attitude that easily besets us, like the folks in the Old Testament, is complaining. When we complain, we say God is not there. He's not helping us, and we're focusing in on ourselves. 2 years ago on vacation, we took a trip that took too long, and 6 hours in the car, the blood sugar got low, and the grumpiness got high. And we're looking for a place to eat, and finally found that IHOP, and IHOP commercials, the best commercials in the world. Wonderful food and happy service, and that's what we need. And we go in, and the service was not wonderful, and the food was almost never did get there. And I started to outdo the Israelites in the complaining department. And it got so bad, and normally I'm, you know, very merciful. I used to work in restaurants, so very, I understand, you know, all the things that people come up against. And it got so bad that one of my family members actually said, can I have the car keys? Because I'd like to wait in the car until you're done. I wasn't sure if they were talking about done with eating or done with complaining. But when I did that, I was not thinking of, hey, I was on rest. I was on vacation. I was eating food that most people don't even get to eat at a pretty nice restaurant. And who would complain in the presence of God? Somebody who forgot the Lord. Somebody who didn't have the attitude of Christ. The author James MacDonald, when he talked about saying, Lord, change my attitude, he said, complaining is often worshiping the idol of a perfect life. That's a scary thing to face. When life is not perfect or the people around you aren't perfect, you just complain and constantly, like a dripping on a rainy day. And the Lord says that's a sin against Him if our hearts are against God in that way. Now, complaining is different than grieving. Grieving is saying, oh, my heart is broken. I have trouble and I need God's help. I'm in a loss or I'm in some sin problem. And grieving is much different than complaining. A grieving heart says, God, I'm broken. Come and help me. A complaining heart says, everything around me is broken and God, go get them. And God says, the only thing wrong in a complaining heart is the heart. It's the attitude that He would like to touch. And often giving thanks, when the Israelites realized how good God was and began to give thanks, they were restored. Their soul was restored. They thought that God, yeah, He is merciful. He is with us. He does provide. Lord, change my attitude. Giving thanks is a great evidence that a person wants to walk with Christ and has, you know, the attitude of Christ is coming into their soul. Give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Are you known as a thankful person? Or are you a complaining person? You know, with the company you keep, do they just on a regular basis say thankful things? Or is that like once in a blue moon and most of it's just like a litany of bad news? And sometimes you surround yourself with what you hear and what you listen to and what you watch, which is people giving you bad news and complaining all the time. You know, are they talking about Jesus? Are they talking about sin? Or are they just going on and on? You know, what attitude is that producing in your life? Your attitude can be the same as that of Christ. Some prayers that I thought of that you could pray just as saying, I want to see God and have a thankful attitude and not a complaining attitude. And knowing this takes a miracle of Christ to get that new mindset. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. Certainly nothing to minimize as a problem. Lord, thank you. You are here with me in this trouble. Moses prayed for the people like that. Lord, thank you. You're here with me in this trouble. Lord, thank you. I'm not alone. You and God can walk through that which is causing you pain. Lord, thank you. You have a plan for my life. Here's a good one. When we know we've grumbled against God, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sins, the ability to forgive others and even myself. Just know the Lord will work with you where you're at. Lord, thank you for your word, your people, a bright future in heaven. Lord, thank you for the truth that always sets me free. When I find myself thinking this way, and I say to myself, this doesn't come very naturally for me. Then God's saying, I can help you have a change of mind, a change of attitude. Lord, thank you for people who remind me you created them and you love them. To stand before God and kneel before God and say, am I a thankful person? Lord, am I seeing your presence in my life? Because he is there. He promises that. Lord, am I choosing thankfulness moment by moment as opposed to complaining? And there's two groups that can serve as good models for us for giving thanks to God in the Bible real quickly as an illustration. One group are children. Children normally are pretty thankful. They give thanks to Jesus about 3 or 4 times in the Gospels. And children are thankful, number one, because they know they need love. And so what do? You know, pick me up. Help me. Give me this. Wah. Cry. They know they need love, and they are not afraid to express that they have a need. Could you be a child of God like that and learn a thankful heart to say, hey, I need God's love today. I went to church to praise him, to build others up, yeah, but I went because I needed God so bad. Somebody told me before the service, they said, I come to church today because I can't afford not to be close to God. Somewhat his words. I said, well, I thought you're going to have a good openness to the Lord. But a child, to be like a child before God, learn that thankful heart. And Lord, this is what I need from you. Would you please help me with that? God's not going to spoil us, but he'll give us himself. Then the other group that does well praising God are the angels. The angels. And just to think about this contrast a bit. The angels praise God all the time, perfectly, 24 hours a day, nonstop. Some of us want to be like that on this side of heaven. Say, we want to be perfect. I want to be an angel. I want you to be an angel. When you're not, I'm going to let you know. And God said, wait. There are people who praise God better than the angels. You know who that is. See, the angels, they never sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saves someone like me. You know, they don't sing Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. May the weak say, I am strong. The angels never said, I felt weak and now I got strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. I was poor, but I was rich. No, but you and I can say that. We probably said this week, yeah, I'm weak, but I can have God's strength. I feel poor in my soul. God, Jesus is my wealth. Now, you won't praise God like the angels do a lot of times, but you'll praise him maybe better, maybe more thankfully. Maybe it means a little bit more to the Lord even. Because you'll praise him as a trophy of his grace. Would you want to be a trophy of his grace? There you are. You know, all those things God is doing for you through his son. And you say, yeah, that's the Lord. He's very good. And have a lot to be thankful about. And somebody says, how's it going? And you might feel bad, but you say, no complaints. No complaints. I'm a trophy of his grace. And God has been good to me. Might we have the same heart among us that was also in Christ, the same mind. And the Lord does this as we surrender to him and we walk with him just one step at a time. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the many praises to you this morning through each person who came to worship. And we all come at different needs in our soul. But always we come with the same need for you. And might our minds be changed, on a regular basis toward you, Jesus, toward the big issues of life, you and sin and following you. Might we have great passion about this walk, about people that you love, and just give us that same mind among ourselves that was in Christ, Lord. And I know some of the biggest sins in my life are not my behavior. That's bad enough. But the mind needs to be the mind of Christ. And thank you. You work on that with your faithfulness. Might there be breakthroughs and joy among the people of God, because we know how to make our needs known to the Lord and have a thankful heart. Just hear our silent prayers in regards to that.